This is Messianic Perspectives, and today we're going to talk about nothing. Shalom, and welcome to Messianic Perspectives, a daily program where we look into the scriptures from a distinctive first century Jewish point of view. This is Liz Aiello, and today our Bible teacher, Dr. Gary Hedrick, is teaching What God Says About Nothing. I'll be back at the end of the program with a special message, so have your pencil and paper ready. And now, with today's message, here's Dr. Gary Hedrick.
All right, thank you, and welcome to another edition of Messianic Perspectives. I'm your host, Gary Hedrick, and it's good to have you with us today as we continue our series of studies on what God says about nothing. Now, it's interesting. You know, the Bible gives us all kinds of information about a multitude of subjects. It talks about science and cosmogony, how the world began. It talks about philosophy and epistemology. It talks about history. It talks about theology. It talks about all of these things, but what many people don't realize is that it also talks about nothing, absolutely nothing. So that's what we've been talking about in these programs, and today we've come to the third nothing in Scripture. It's in Exodus 12:10, where God tells Israel that they shouldn't leave any part of the Passover sacrifice unused, not even a little bit. The entire sacrifice had to be completely and totally used up, nothing left over. Now, the Passover sacrifice was a lamb. The Lord told his people Israel to dab the blood of the lamb on the doorposts of their dwellings, so the death angel would skip over them on the night of the judgment of the firstborn. They could escape God's judgment by trusting in the promise that the shed blood of the lamb would save them. He assured them. He said, when I see the blood, this is Exodus 12:13. He said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. In fact, now watch this. The verbs in this verse, Exodus 12:13, are in the past tense. Literally, it's not when I see the blood, but rather when I saw the blood, then I passed. Not I will pass, but I passed, past tense, over you. So the Lord describes this remarkable event to the children of Israel before it ever happened as though it had already taken place. That's how certain and sure their deliverance was. It was as though it had already happened. Now, isn't that amazing? That means when the Israelites were standing there at the Red Sea, with the chariots of Pharaoh's army bearing down on them from behind, and the waters of the Red Sea in front of them, with nowhere else to go, nowhere to turn, nowhere to go, that means in spite of their fears, in spite of their uncertainties, in spite of their insecurities, and in spite of the very real danger they faced, they could relax. Because as far as God was concerned, their deliverance was already a done deal. Even before it ever happened, even before God allowed Israel to walk across that seabed on dry ground, even before he destroyed the Egyptian army, before any of it ever happened, it was already a done deal. It was in the past tense. So this third nothing in Scripture has to do with the Passover sacrifice. God told his people Israel that they should let nothing remain of the sacrifice. In fact, he was very specific, very precise. He said, if anything is left of the lamb by the following morning, then he said, you take whatever is left over and burn it with fire. You see, nothing was to be left over, Exodus 12:10. Now, we all know that many details of the Passover point to the Messiah, the Lord Jesus. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 5:7 that Jesus the Messiah is what? Our Passover, pointing to Jesus as the Lamb of God. And when John the Baptist saw the Lord Jesus in John 1:29, what did he say? He said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Again, it's the imagery of the Passover. And the Apostle John takes up the same theme again in the book of Revelation, because all through the Apocalypse, We have these amazing, breathtaking scenes where everyone in heaven is bowing and worshiping and giving praise and glory and honor to the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. In Revelation 5:11, everyone in heaven is saying, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." You see, it's the Lamb. This is all imagery from the Passover. Jesus the Messiah is our Passover. He is the Lamb who was sacrificed for the sins of the world. And he wasn't just a generic Lamb. He was a spotless, sinless Lamb. When we were talking about Joseph on the last program, we saw how Joseph was a type or a symbol of the Lord Jesus because the Bible says Joseph was wrongfully accused. He hadn't done anything wrong. He was condemned for something that someone else did. And so was Yeshua. So was Jesus. Now let's move on. Remember we said in the Bible, we have types and antitypes. The type is in the Old Testament, and the antitype is in the New Testament. The type is a symbol, and the antitype is its fulfillment. The type is the shadow, you could say, and the antitype is the reality. And when you look at it, God is very intent on protecting these symbols. He's very strict about it. And it's because of the very, very important realities that these symbols and shadows point to. So that means, like in this case, where God told Israel not to leave any of the sacrifice unused, there was a reason for that. When he said nothing was to be left over from the Passover sacrifice, it was important because it pointed to a New Testament reality. And in this case, we know the New Testament reality is Jesus, the Lamb of God. The Passover Lamb is the type, and Jesus the Messiah is the antitype. So here's the question. Why did the Passover sacrifice have to be completely used up? What is it about the New Testament fulfillment that requires the entire sacrifice to be used up? Well, there are two reasons for this. Number one, the lamb could not be allowed to decompose. You see, when something dies, the body begins to decompose due to the action of bacteria. It's a natural process. Our bodies return literally to the dust from which they were formed. In this case, however, death was only temporary because the Messiah would be what? Resurrected. That's why one of the Messianic Psalms says, "For thou wilt not leave my soul in Sheol, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." That's Psalm 16:10. In Acts 2:27, the Apostle Peter makes it clear that this was a messianic prophecy. David was referring to his direct descendant, the Messiah, whose body would not be allowed to decompose following his death. In fact, after 3 days, he would be resurrected by the power of God. So that's the first reason the Passover sacrifice could not be allowed to undergo any process of corruption or decay. And the second reason the sacrifice had to be completely used up is that it pointed forward to the fact that the Messiah would give his all for us. He held nothing back. He gave his life. He gave everything. Philippians 2:7 says, "The Prince of Heaven, who had everything, made himself to be nothing." Our English Bible says he made himself of no reputation. That is, on a scale from 1 to 10, he went from a 10 to a 0. He became nothing. That means he gave everything. It's interesting that some scholars believe that Philippians 2:7 is a Greek translation of the Hebrew text of Isaiah 53:12, where Isaiah says the Messiah will pour out his soul unto death. Like the priests in the ancient temple used to pour out the blood of the sacrifice around the base of the altar, according to passages like Leviticus 4:34, they poured it out. Nothing was left. So the Messiah poured out his soul unto death. Nothing was left. You know, any creature can bleed a little bit and survive. In fact, sometimes you can bleed a lot and survive. I have. You just stitch up the wound and go on. But when you take all of the blood and you pour it out, you know that creature has given its all. In fact, when we take our tours to Israel, one of the places we go is the Western Wall and the Southern Stairs at the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. It's an awesome place. We go down into the Rabbi's Tunnel where you can actually see the foundation stones of the retaining wall that surrounded the ancient Jerusalem Temple. If you've never been there, you really need to go. We'll give you the toll-free number in just a moment. You can call and request a brochure. But here's what I was going to say. At the Temple Mount, you can still see the trench that was cut into the stone wall that took the blood from the temple up above down to the valley below. The trench is still there. Because think about all the many animals who died every year in that sacrificial system on the Temple Mount. Tens of thousands of them. And think of all the blood that was shed. Thousands and thousands of gallons of blood. Because those animals gave their all. They poured out their lives. They poured out their blood. So it's the type and the antitype. It's the symbol and its fulfillment. The Lamb is the symbol and the Messiah is its fulfillment. And just like the Passover lamb gave its all, so also the Messiah gave his all. His blood was poured out, like the blood of those animals was poured out in the ancient temple. The Bible says we are redeemed by the precious blood of the Messiah, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, 1 Peter 1:19. Jesus, or Yeshua in Hebrew, is the only one who could do it. No one else was qualified. That's why his blood is called precious. Precious means rare, like precious metals. They're rare because there's nothing else like them. And no other living being in the universe could shed its blood and atone for the sins of humanity. Only him, because he had no sin of his own. Well, that's the third nothing in Scripture. Nothing left over from the Passover sacrifice. And that's it for today. Thanks for sharing this quarter hour with us here on Messianic Perspectives. I'm your friend, Gary Hedrick, and we'll see you next time. Take care. God bless. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Gary. And thank you, listening friend, for tuning in today. It's always good to have you with us, whether you're listening from home, at work, or in your car. If you found today's program especially helpful and insightful, you'll be glad to know that we have placed the entire series of programs on one compact disc. The title is What God Says About Nothing. It's available for your gift of just $6 or more to help us keep this program here on your station. Just visit our secure online store at messianicspecialties.com to place your order. If you would prefer to order by mail, just address your request to Messianic Perspectives, P.O. Box 345, San Antonio, Texas, 78292. To order by phone, use our toll-free order line from the U.S. The number is 1-800-926-5397. Have you enjoyed this edition of Messianic Perspectives? Why not continue to learn about the Jewish roots of your Christian faith by inviting a speaker from CJF Ministries? Call our toll-free number, 1-800-926-5397, and we'll be happy to handle all of the details. And as always, when you're in touch with us, please mention the call letters of this station. If you're listening to our webcast or podcast, we need to know that too. I'm Liz Aiello. Join us next time, won't you? As Dr. Gary Hedrick continues What God Says About Nothing, right here on Messianic Perspectives. Messianic Perspectives is sponsored by CJF Ministries of San Antonio, Texas, and is made possible on this station by the free will contributions of our listeners in this area.